Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Friday night, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Friday to you all. And yes, I normally say it's one step closer to the weekend, but we are actually in the weekend, so I don't have to say it. Yes. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Thursday night? Nope, it's not. 10 p.m. Eastern? No, it's not. We're doing a special show tonight. We had to miss the last couple weeks. You know, it's been a little crazy. It's been a little busy. But we could not go. We had to do a special show. We have so much to discuss. We got to talk some Survivor. We got to talk about The Voice. We got to talk about the challenge and Are You the One? And all of that. And hopefully soon I will be joined by my co-host and producer, Priscilla. But before I say anything else, before I do anything else, I want you to know that you can get into contact with us. You can let us know what you're watching. You can let us know how you're feeling about certain shows. And you can do that by follow us on Twitter. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality, A-L-L-I-E. And Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. So we have Reality Allie on Twitter. We have Priscilla on Twitter. And you can also like our Facebook page at The Edge of Reality. And you can listen to this show and all of our shows on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. Man, so much to discuss. You know, there's been some interesting news happening in the past couple weeks that we haven't had a chance to talk about. Something that I wanted to bring up is in the Project Runway realm. Yes, we're watching it. Yes, I'm still interested in it. However, Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn, gone. They're leaving to start their own show, and in their place is going to be Karlie Kloss. And Karlie Kloss is a model. She has a resume very similar to Heidi Klum's, but that's going to be rough. That's a tough blow for the show. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, Tim and Heidi obviously work very well together. If one of them left and they were replaced by someone, maybe they would be able to keep things going. With both of them leaving at the same time, having brand new people, it might be a little harder to do. We'll have to wait and see what happens. I think it'll be interesting to see if the show can continue on. Yes, they do have other Project Runway shows, spinoffs. Alyssa Milano is the host. They do it in other ways, but for the original, to not have Heidi Klum, to not have Tim Gunn, that will be a pretty big blow. So we'll see. And Karlie Kloss, I've never seen her host before. Hopefully, she'll be able to take on the reins. We'll see. Priscilla, are you there?
I am, and I'm pissed off. But we're okay.
Got
rejected in mid-sentence. It will not let me call back in. But on the bright side is I haven't been able to use Skype in years now since I got my new laptop. And so I had to go reset my password for Microsoft, and I actually got in on Skype. So I guess there's a bright side to it.
That's big. Well, welcome. We're so excited. I was just telling everybody about Project Runway and Tim and Heidi leaving.
Yeah, I did
see
that.
It's going back to what?
Bravo, right?
Ooh,
it's back on Broadway.
That I had. Yeah. So it will be, there'll be a lot of changes. We'll see if the show is be able to kind of go along with it, or if it's not going to be able to happen. Hey, in other news, Real World is coming back on Facebook. MTV's The Real World is going to be coming back on, but it's not coming back to MTV. It's coming back to MTV via Facebook Watch.
That's odd.
I find it odd as well. I don't know. It's not like I look at MTV's ratings often, but I would think that Real World would get fairly decent ratings in comparison to everything else on MTV. I would feel like it would be a relatively cheap show to produce. I would think that Are You the One, X on the Beach, The Challenge would be more expensive shows to produce than this. So I find it odd that they would bring it back to Facebook. They would first get rid of it and then bring it back to Facebook. But they have already announced that they're doing 3 new seasons of The Real World, 1 in Thailand, 1 in Mexico, and 1 in the United States. All of it is going to be on Facebook Watch. So that's something. I don't know. I don't really have Facebook, and I don't have Facebook Watch. I was thinking about this the other day with Real World. You know, the Real World was absolutely one of the pioneers of reality TV in the modern era. And it was 7 strangers pick to live in a house and have their lives taped, find out what happens when people stop getting polite and people start getting real. You know, paraphrase the opening. And they went so far away from that, probably in the past 7 or 8 seasons of the show, that apparently this is getting back to its roots. It's getting back to the strangers concept. I don't know. I mean, it's a very different show than when it premiered in the 90s. People are very different. They have a very strong understanding of reality television and what you need to do in order to make entertaining TV. I just don't know if The Real World can kind of stand in its own what it was and go back to its roots with the culture what it is, Priscilla.
And it, at least it's changing with the times. It hasn't completely went away. I guess there's a bright side to that. So is it going to kind of be like a Big Brother version? Can you peek in the house whenever you want, or is it just as clips as they see fit, or what?
From my understanding, it's just the straight-up television show like you would have it on MTV, but it's just on a different platform.
Gotcha.
But that would actually be an interesting scenario, though, that it would be a 24/7 camera, kind of like Big Brother. That would make it a little bit different. But I don't think that that's what's happening. Other news that I wanted to point out, I love the Great British Bake Off. I am a major fan of this. I don't talk about it enough, but I am. And the American Bake Off, the British spinoff of that show, just to kind of give you a little bit of background and remind you, it was on for 2 seasons. It was starting to air for its 3rd. It was doing well in the ratings. It was happening during the holiday season. It was one of those in between like hiatus shows, and one of the judges was accused of sexual harassment, so they canceled the show. They took all the episodes off the air, so they didn't air season 3 of the show. I think they might have only aired 1 episode, as a matter of fact. But it is coming back for a season 4. They are retooling everything. They are revamping. Paul Hollywood is back, which if you are a fan of the Great British Bake Off, you know Paul Hollywood, and which is pretty great. And there's going to be Curtis Stone coming in to take over for judging duties. So I'm excited about this because it's a great little show. It was on at the perfect time of year. You know, it was a fun little baking show for the holidays. It's going to start airing in December. They're going to keep that time slot. And I'm very excited about this, Priscilla. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, one of many things you get excited about. When it comes to reality. All right.
You know I'm excited. I love it. I'm so happy that the fall is here. We have so much to discuss. Let's talk Survivor. We haven't talked about Survivor in a few weeks, obviously. We haven't been on in a few weeks. So instead of I'm not going to go through each episode. I just want to hit the highlights of some of the episodes. Priscilla, and I wanted to do this in the form of asking you questions. Okay? I have a bunch of questions to ask you about this season so far. Ready?
Shoot.
Okay. So we saw not one but two people go home this past week. One left, and I want to make it clear, and the show has since made it clear, Jeff Probst has made it clear in Exit Press, that B left and she left, she quit. It wasn't a medical evacuation. There's a difference. She did hurt herself. She did hyperextend her knee and sprain her MCL. However, she was still cleared to participate in challenges. She was still cleared to be on the show. She self-evicted, is what I'm going to say. But she decided on her own that this was not the best place for her. I don't necessarily blame her. She is an MMA fighter. She's a pretty high profile one, if I'm understanding correctly, just things that I've read. She's she's a pretty big deal in the female MMA fighting community. And my belief is also that she was a recruit for the show. And when you have recruits, one of the things that happens when you get recruits is that they're not necessarily all in on the show. And when that happens, you might not necessarily have people that are going to do anything to remain. And right. B was in a situation where she left. Here's my question. We saw B leave at the top of the episode, right? Now, I'm assuming that no matter what, this tribe swap was happening, and we were going to go to two tribes to three tribes, and there was going to be one person going to Exile Island because we had to get the veto nullifier, oh my God, I'm still in Big Brother rain, the idol nullifier. So we had all of this kind of going on at the same time. But B leaving made teams relatively uneven. I mean, it was kind of a rough go. What did you think about the way she left? How they kind of announced her leaving?
As a matter of factly, she hurt her knee because she's limping today, so she's going to go home kind of thing. I really didn't give any thoughts about it. I just figured that, you know, her career was more important to her than, you know, staying on the island, and so be it. And she just took a spot away from somebody that could have really wanted to stick it out. I mean, I guess if medically she was told not to, but I mean, I'm sure that if challenges would have come up and they didn't feel it was safe, they would have made her sit out. But I don't know. I don't know how to take it. I didn't put much thought into it. How's that?
Well, Jeff kind of handled it in his Jeff way. He didn't love it, treated it like a David versus Goliath thing again. The other thing that kind of, you know, we don't love a two to three tribe swap. We're not fans of the three tribes. Priscilla and I. We've made this perfectly clear over the years. So we've gone to three tribes. So all of a sudden we have smaller groups, less places to hide. And of course, Davids were the minority in all three tribes. And I just thought to myself, great, here we go. Like this is, and of course a David ended up, a Carl ended up on Exile Island. And a couple things. One, let's start with Exile Island. Priscilla, tell me your thoughts on the idol nullifier.
I have no thoughts unless he uses it correctly, because more than likely he won't use it correctly and it will mean nothing in the game. But if he does use it correctly and it works, then I'll give you some thoughts.
I think this has got to be the hardest one to use correctly, though. Don't you think?
I know. Yeah, you got to call it just right.
I mean, I think this is harder to use than the vote spiel. You are essentially saying, okay, I think that this person has the idol, and I think that this person is using the idol this week. And I'm going to do it then. There's so many factors that go into it. And I believe what the rule is that you have to, it's not who has the idol, but you have to predict who the idol is used on. So if, Davey has the idol right now. Let's say that Davey wanted to use his idol on Elizabeth. Carl would have to predict that that Elizabeth was the person that was going to have the idol be used on, and it was going to happen that exact week. That I think that's a difficult thing to do.
Well, yeah, if you have a pulse on the game, it probably isn't terribly difficult, but more than likely the David people are going to be left out of the loop in most instances. But, you know, going back to when you said the tribes split and the Davids were always the minority, standing there before they even left, I knew they were going to lose, and I knew that one of the people on that tribe was going to flip just because of how it was edited.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. It was definitely edited in a way that you could kind of tell what was about to happen. And that kind of leads me to Alec's decision this week. So we have Davey, Elizabeth, Alec, Kara, and Natalia on a tribe. That is the tribe that loses. Kara and Natalia are close. Alec was supposedly in, like, the cool kids club for the Goliath tribe, along with the two of them. I don't quite understand at the end of the day why Alec decided to make this move. Alec understood that Carl was coming in to Natalia's place, therefore they were going to be the majority, the Davids were going to be the majority alliance next week. So that did not faze him. Natalia was not going to be going after him at all. They were an alliance. I actually listened to an exit interview that Dalton Ross did, where she essentially said that, like, Alec was one of her, like, top people. It wasn't just I'm an alliance. It was like we're pretty tight. Didn't see where this was coming from. The show was edited that Elizabeth, talked to him about a resume, and Davey talked to him. But I just didn't see that their arguments would be effective enough for him to turn on the Goliath tribe that quickly. I mean, Priscilla, help me out here. What would be the advantage of doing this?
Basically, I took it as a screw you. You're not even listening to my input, and you don't control the game. And then he really effed with her by going ahead and talking to Elizabeth, during tribal to really mess with her, to get her paranoia going.
So what you think, this is complete personal. The reason was completely personal, not strategy at all.
Yes. Because how could it be game-wise? He just effed himself with all the other Goliaths, unless there's more to the story and people wanted her out that we didn't because of her. I mean, she kind of come off as like, is it Natalie? The little botcher lady, okay. So unless she came off the same way and there was underlying talks with her kind of in the same avenue, but we didn't see it, then that's possible that it was game, because then the other Goliaths might say, okay, I respect.
I think we would have seen that, though. I think we would have seen a piece of editing in previous episodes that would set us up for that. We saw that Natalia was butting heads. We saw a little bit of that. Not a ton of it, and not enough to kind of say, like, okay, they hate her so much that, take a piece of it. I just don't know what the strategic value for Alec staying with Davy and Elizabeth. Neither one of them really promised him anything. They didn't promise him that they would, vote for him till the end, that they would take care of him in any way. They just kind of talked to him about his resume, what the game long term. But even though I thought, let's face it, the fact that Davy had an idol and he didn't have to use it on this vote was pretty awesome. Elizabeth, I'm not taking this anything away from Elizabeth and Davy, because they were sitting ducks and they survived. And next week they're going to be in the majority, and that's going to be huge. And I feel like Carl, Davy, and Elizabeth will stick together. I don't think that they will turn on each other.
No, but there's maybe at least one more person that can go after, and not him, and then that would get him back to another merge, maybe. Maybe that's his thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility Kara could go before him. But that's two Goliaths. So I just found it to be a really dumb decision by Alec. However, I was pretty excited about it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was
very worried about Elizabeth and Davy.
I agree.
Let me ask you this. You and I, we like to root for the underdog. That is just our nature. And I think that's the nature of most people. Davids are 100% automatically put in that underdog position. And I am finding myself, whenever there's any sort of situation where there's a David versus Goliath, I'm all for it. I'm all for the Davids. I can't even handle the Goliaths. Fast forward to winning the game, whoever wins this game. If a Goliath wins this game, are we just going to be like, eh? they're a Goliath. What do you expect? And if a David wins this game, are we going to be like, yes, the underdog won, the right person did it? I just feel like they're automatically setting us up for that.
Possibly.
I feel like if the winner of this season is a Goliath, there is going to be I don't want to say outcry, but there's definitely going to be people that are like, whatever. Okay. They're not a great winner. All right. They're a Goliath. What do you expect? I think it's already kind of setting them up for failure a little bit. That's my two cents. Now, I'm not going to do anything about it because I am Team David all the way. But, I just don't think that if a Goliath wins this season, that's going to give us what we want or what we need from our survivor. I'm just putting it out there.
Right. I think if David's going to win.
I feel like, I mean, I want a David to win. I don't know if a David will win, but I feel like if a David gets to final tribal council, I feel like they might have a good shot of winning over a Goliath. So that's what I think happens. I think if they get to final tribal council and they're able to talk about things and they're able to say, look, I overcame this, and Goliaths might be bitter at other Goliaths if they take each other out, I think it might be a possibility. I want to ask you about, speaking of Goliaths, I want to ask you about one of our favorite Goliaths, Natalie. Natalie is a very interesting character and someone that we haven't necessarily seen on Survivor, and not a lot anyway. And for that reason, I'm all in on Natalie. She is everything. She is playing the game so wrong. Everything about it does not work, yet it works perfectly. And I can see her, like, doing extremely well in this game because she is authentically herself. Like, she very much is who she is. And I think that she's making these points to people that are great points in terms of, like, what are you going to do? You're going to take out the old lady? What are you going to do? You know, what competition am I going to win? And I think there might be a situation where people feel like, let's drag her to the end. Let her be the goat. No one's going to vote for her. And then I think people might vote for her. Your thoughts, Priscilla?
Yeah, I can see that. I think she's gone sooner than later, but I could see a scenario in that happening, but I don't think so. I don't see her getting past 2 weeks. Another 2 weeks. I gave her 2 weeks.
Really? I think she's in it. I think she's in it for a while.
If her team loses, I think she'll be the first one to go.
Ooh.
New team.
It's hard.
Remember, the other ones had kind of agreed, yeah, she's annoying, but we know we're keeping her around. But now that there's new teams, I think they're going to say enough's enough and see ya.
See, here's the thing. I don't think we're going to get three tribes for a long. Maybe another week, maybe two. I think we're going to go back to two tribes at some point in the near future. I agree with you that I think that Natalie's the most vulnerable on a three tribe team when there's only five people, and there's less places to hide, and you have to do the competitions. I think if she makes it back to the two tribes, I think she's good. I think she's good. You know, the only time that I see her getting into some trouble is when we get to the merge. And when there's a vote that, you know, because she's always going to be a super easy vote. She's always going to be someone that everybody's going to agree on. But in a weird way, she kind of reminds me of Sam from Big Brother, where it's like, oh, that's just Sam, you know. That's Sam, who she is. It's Sam. Sam made it to Final Five.
I know, but I don't see that. She was loyal and she would listen and do what she was told to a certain extent, or Natalie's doing all the telling and stuff. But I mean,
yeah. Natalie's going to be loyal though. I believe she'll stay Goliath strong. I believe that the Goliaths will think that they could use her for a vote, I think. And we're already starting to see that with the mayor of Slamtown. John really wants her to stay. There's people that were really pushing her to stay. I mean, Jeremy left over her last week. There was a reason for that.
I'm sorry. I'm so distracted because I just read that Liz and Julia Nolan are going to be on the Challenge 33. But we'll digress and go back to that. Just caught me off guard. Okay. So what were you saying? That totally took me off guard.
Yeah. No, but Jeremy went home last week over Natalie. You know, there's something to be said for that. They could have very easily taken her out last week, and they didn't.
True. But remember, we are on new teams, and there might not be that, like, patience as the other team had the acceptance. Well, the new team may not have as much acceptance.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't think they're going to be in this configuration for very long. I think if she can make it past one more week, I think she's going to be fine. Did you hear about the exit press about Jeremy last week?
No.
So Jeremy and his exit press, and I listen to Entertainment Weekly Radio every morning on my way to work with Dalton Ross, and he has the exited Survivor players. And Jeremy's exit press, he kind of alluded to the fact that Angelina and John, the mayor of Slamtown, he called it they were in a showmance. This is a problem because Angelina is married. And so this kind of stemmed into this big situation where Angelina like wrote a statement to the Hollywood Reporter and said, like, we were not in a showmance. I don't think Jeremy truly understands what the word showmance kind of implies, but he definitely was coming in hot and making some pretty major accusations, which, you know, have not been warranted or you know. So Jeremy is still bitter. He is still bitter that he got voted out over Natalie. That's what I'm saying about that.
And now Natalia is going to probably be bitter. We're not going to have the same kind of interview this week.
No, I mean, when I listened to Natalia's interview, she was pretty self-aware. Like, she was aware. She mentioned that she could be bossy, and she mentioned that she could be a little aggressive, and she kind of listened to Kara. Kara kind of said that everything's fine. Don't worry. You know, you're being paranoid. You're being crazy. And she wasn't. She wasn't. So, Natalia wasn't too bad. She was pretty aware of what was going on. And Bi, for the most part, I mean, B, for the most part, you know, she made it very clear that she quit and she left because, you know, she has this athletic career to think about, and she didn't want to screw up her job for the game. And so she decided to leave. Again, I'm not saying if it's a good decision or a bad decision, because you got to do what you got to do. You can't jeopardize your livelihood, you know, for this. But it's a bummer. But this is why we start the game with so many people now, because this is our second medical evacuation / quit of the game, and we're only 4 weeks in, and it tends to go like that. I mean, we remember the season with Caleb and Aubrey that Michelle won, where they had three evacuations in 1 year. So that's why we've started out with a larger amount of people in this game for situations like this. So hopefully it doesn't happen again. Hopefully it doesn't happen. I'm into this season. I really like it. I'm interested. I think it all started with the first episode where Pat was medically evacuated, because we got a lot of just a lot of footage, a lot of character building of these contestants. And I think it makes a big difference because I know every single one of their names. And that's impressive.
I don't yet.
Well, but I do. And that's
and that is all that matters.
That's all that matters. All right. I want to move on from talking about Survivor. You want to talk about Challenge since you brought it up?
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah. So we are in the Challenge. Since we last talked about the Challenge, they brought in mercenaries. So Corey I forget who Corey's partner is in the game. It's not Hunter and Ashley. Corey and I can't remember. I was so excited that I remembered everybody from Survivor. I forgot Corey's partner's name. Devin. Why would I forget Devin? I love Devin. So it was Corey and Devin. So mercenaries came back, and I didn't love the idea of bringing in mercenaries like more than halfway through the game.
Before you move on from that, Devin and Corey, they're not necessarily vendettas. They are bananas vendettas. Let's get real.
Correct. I agree with you on that. I mean, they always do a loose interpretation of vendetta, by the way. I mean, you know, there are a lot of quote-unquote vendettas that are very loosely, you know, associated. And that's they need to make the theme work, and that's what they do. But I absolutely agree with you. Devin and Corey are more Johnny's vendettas than they are each other's vendettas. And, you know, this puts Johnny in a rough spot this year. And I'm never mad at that. I mean, Johnny has been around. He's put more than his fair share of people in a rough spot. You know, I don't care if Johnny wins or not. That part doesn't matter to me. I just don't like the aspect that Devin and Corey came in more than halfway through the game and are now eligible to win all the money, where Tony and Bananas, or I'm trying to think of another team that's still in there and has been there from the very beginning, Nelson and Shane, or, you know, one of these other teams that have been kind of plugging along, you know, they haven't had this opportunity. But not only do we have that, we have the Redemption House, and this week we had not one but two more teams come back from the Redemption House. So we really have not lost that many teams.
No, we haven't.
I mean, it really, it's just like a revolving door of teams coming in and out, you know, between the mercenaries, because even though we've had a few teams leave, we've also had two brand new teams with Corey and Devin and Hunter and Ashley come in. And then people coming back and forth from Redemption. I feel like as much as I enjoy the Challenge, I sometimes feel like the game, the mechanics itself, get way too complicated. They can make this a little bit more straightforward. People don't have to come in and out of the game. That doesn't need to happen. They can, and I understand partially why it happens. They need the maximum amount of people in the main house to cause the maximum amount of drama. But I feel like people can leave on a steadier clip and you can see what's going on. Because what will ultimately happen is there'll be a mass exodus before the final, and all of a sudden all these teams will be just gone. And then, you know, you'll have three or four teams left standing. But I think we can do that a little bit more gradually around, you know, as the show progresses. Because it feels like you're not going anywhere. Like, I have no idea how many episodes could possibly be left in this show. If the show ended in 2 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised. And if the show ended in 2 months, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's already been
and
going.
It's been going since August. I mean, it's been, I think actually longer than August. I think I was watching it in July. I think it happened around the same time Big Brother started. So it's been going on for a long time. And I'm not opposed to it going on for a long time. You know, I love the challenge. I could watch it all year long. I'm completely fine with that as a concept. But usually with a competition reality show, when you have 8 people left and then you have 7 people left, you kind of have this sense of this game is going to end in X amount of weeks, you know, because you know, I have no idea. I have no idea how many episodes can be in this thing. No clue. And that doesn't count the reunion stuff. And obviously, I am sure we're not going to know the winner until the reunion, because that's what they've decided to do in the past couple seasons. But it's just a weird feeling to me, because I have absolutely no idea. And a winner of the season can most likely be either a mercenary team or a team that's come back from redemption. And that's rough. That's a rough season.
And the thing is redemption has had multiple chances to come back in the house. Like,
oh yeah.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Paulie and Allie didn't win the damn show as many times as they've had to come back on, and they're still putting themselves in the situation where they could still come back into the game. It's just crazy to me.
Well, and Paulie and Natalie are a perfect example of that. Paulie and Natalie left the game like week one.
Yeah.
They have been out of that house since week one, and now they're coming back in, and they have just as much shot as Shayna Nelson or Tony and Bananas or, you know, one of these other teams to win the game, even though for several weeks they didn't have to compete. Now, I know they had to compete and come back in, but it's just very weird. Why did they have to bring 2 teams back in?
Because they could.
I mean, it's just insanity. It bothers me because it's just like we just don't know like time and space and what the hell is happening and how much longer we have of this, you know. That being said, though, the challenges are unreal this year. That, ball wheel in a cage challenge that Paulie and Natalie and Cara Marie and Marie had to compete in, that was insane. I am really digging the challenges this season on this challenge. So I'm here for it. They're doing a really good job with that. Now, Priscilla kind of spoiled some of these things earlier. They are filming a Challenge 33. They are filming it right now, as a matter of fact. That's going to be airing probably early next year, 2019. But there are several Big Brother players rumored to be in the game. Paulie and Natalie are back. Davon is back. And Liz and Julia Nolan, the twins, they'll be making their challenge debut. They will be coming in as well. I've also seen Morgan from OTT will be joining the cast. As will Josh, Big Brother 19 winner Josh will be joining the cast as well.
Okay. No, that'll be nauseating.
So there's going to be several, and I might be missing someone. I might be missing another guy. I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's several of them coming back. There's also several people from other reality shows that are going to be coming on, other MTV reality shows Gus from Floribama Shore will be there, which I watched a few episodes of that, so I know he is. They're going to have a few more of the UK Jordan Shore crew, like from Josh and so I don't know if this is going to be like a battle of the shows where they're going to have like a UK team and a Big Brother team and a challenge team. They could
there's
also
a lot
do
of,
like a.
There's a lot of like UK things going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're bringing a lot of the UK people over. I mean, it's interesting. I think that they're trying to find new blood to do this, as we just discussed earlier. Real
Ash,
World has been
from
say
party,
that again.
Party Down South CMT show. Maddie, you wouldn't know who she is though. Never mind.
Yeah, would not know who that is. But, you know, I think that they're, you know, they need to bring new people in. They haven't had a Real World. Their Real World is going to be on Facebook. And I'm kind of surprised they're not bringing in as many Are You the One people as I thought they would be. Because I thought Are You the One was going to be the show that they kind of bring. You know, and they haven't really brought a new person in since Tori. A new Are You the One person. So I'm kind of surprised by that. But they're bringing in people from X on the Beach, and they're bringing in people from Big Brother. And so they're bringing somebody in from American Ninja Warrior. So, you know, they're bringing in a bunch of different reality shows. I'm here for it. I'm not mad at it. I'm very excited to see what happens. And I want to see people.
Dayvon's back.
Say that again?
Dayvon's back.
Yeah, Day's back, yeah. I mean, I want to see people who are able to, like, compete, like, athletic people. And, you know, there are some athletic people on this cast, so it should be cool. X on the Beach is actually coming back too, and Morgan from OTT is apparently on it, as is Monty from OTT is rumored to be on it. So there you go. I mean, they're using, you know, and that makes sense. There should be crossover, you know, get those people in. I will watch the hell out of it. I mean, I would have watched it anyway, let's be real, but I will really watch it now. I don't know what that means. I was always really going to watch it, so I don't know. I was always really going to watch it. But I think maybe the ratings are increasing, and they're going to double down on this idea, which is kind of cool. I wanted to talk to you about The Voice, too, Priscilla.
Priscilla.
We have a few minutes left. I wanted to discuss this a little bit. They're editing the battles a little bit differently this season, and I'm here for it. You know, you and I both did not like the idea that they montaged battles. Because in a show where you have to vote, the audience has to vote for a winner – if you're being montaged, you just have a less of a chance to show people what you can do. And that bothered you and me. And this season, they're doing it a little bit differently. This season, what they're doing is they're kind of cutting part of the, like, the mentors talk to you. There's no longer, like, this, well, I'll take that back. For some of them, they still have the same length of the mentor buildup where the mentor helps them through their psalm. But they're doing a shorter version of that, and they're starting people mid-psalm. So they're not necessarily being montaged. You're still getting performance, and you're getting mentors' comments before they choose who's going. Who's going in or who's, you know, moving on and who's going home. So it's way better than I think it's been in previous seasons, Priscilla. I think this works better because we don't, they're right. We don't need to see every single team's mentor relationship or mentor thing, but we do need to see every single battle's performances.
We do, but they do see through some. I mean, I'm kind of, I really was listening with one ear while I put my grill together this week. So I didn't catch everything you're talking about. I did see some of what you're talking about, but they still did skim over quite a few of them. So my guess is they're no longer on the show.
Well, they skimmed over the chair turning, but for the battles, they've made it at least longer. They haven't necessarily montaged the way that they did, where they're like, and BTW, this happened, and it was like 1 second of someone. They're joining people mid-performance, but it's much better than what it was. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I don't need to hear the whole psalm, and I don't need to hear all of the comments. We can skip past that. I love the voice, I must say, simply because I can watch a two-hour episode in like 30 minutes because I fast-forward through all the commercials and all of the packages before we get to the performances. So there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler in that show. But I definitely appreciate that they're at least trying to edit it differently this season. So I'm here for it. I am upset because earlier this week Kelly made a colossal mistake. When she chose someone to, well, they ended up not going home. They ended up getting stolen by all three of the mentors wanted her.
Yeah.
But she got stolen from Adam. What was Kelly doing, giving her up? I believe that she's the winner.
The only thing that I can think is she knew she would be stolen, which is dumb, and she didn't want him to leave, which is still dumb.
He would have been stolen too.
Remember the winner that Miley gave up? That scenario reminded me of that. As soon as Miley did that, and then I'm like, that was a dumb move. Totally dumb move. She could win the show, and she did.
I absolutely agree with you. I do remember seeing Miley doing that a couple times where it was like, and I get that because for her it was more about that person moving on than her individually winning. Because besides bragging rights, you don't really win. It's not like Kelly Clarkson wins something special because she won last year. It's just bragging rights.
If I were you, I wouldn't be telling her that. You'd be blocked. she won the world when she won.
It was just such a mistake. It was such a bad call, and I hope it doesn't come back to haunt her, because I think that she is the favorite to win, and now she's on Adam's team. That's my take on that.
Yeah, it was a dumb move. 100%
yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. I was like, no, Kelly, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And she did it. Even though I yelled at the TV, she still did it.
I don't know why she didn't.
I hope it doesn't come back to honor. That's all I'm saying. I just want to give a little shout out too, because we only have a couple minutes left. I definitely want to give a shout out to Are You the One? In digging this season is insane. They got so many just crazy people. And if you watch this week's episode where you see a guy literally lose his mind because who he thought was his girlfriend kissed another guy, it was pretty much as crazy as you can get. You saw a producer. He, like, collapsed in the producer's arms and started sobbing. It was amazing television. It was absolutely amazing television. So I need to give a shout-out for that. The show is ending in a couple weeks, so there's not much time to catch up. But definitely, definitely watch it. I don't think they get the money. My prediction is I don't think they get it this season. They were on quite the roll. They started out really strong. They got the Truth Booth contestant week one, but it's been bad ever since. They haven't been able to get past four beams, and I don't see it happening for them this year. That's my prediction.
That's
I hope I'm wrong. Say that again.
That'll be two seasons,
but they did win last year. It's not like it's two seasons in a row. And frankly, you know, I really wanted to see what would happen if they didn't get it, because the first few seasons they always got it, and I wanted to see what it'd be like if they didn't. But frankly, it wasn't that exciting that they didn't get it. So I'm okay with them getting it every season. I'm fine with it. You know, I just want to see the process in which it happens. I think that they're a little too dysfunctional to get it, but I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope they get their money. And you know what I think too, Priscilla? I feel like if you find your perfect match before the game ends, like if you're like Maria and Shamar, who did it week one and we haven't seen them all year, like, you know, they just come back for the matchup ceremonies where they can be like, what the hell is wrong with you? I feel like if you find your perfect match, you should get like a financial bonus as like incentive to get it early and to get out. Because so many people do not want to leave that house because they obviously want the TV time. They want the fame. So they're not going for their match.
So they can be on X on the Beach or Now the Challenge or
right.
Now it's turning into, you know, Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise status, you know?
Yeah, and I would do it too. If I was that girl and I was on Are You the One, God Help Us All, but if I was on Are You the One, I would be that girl. I would be. Because that's such a jumping off point to so many different platforms. You could do it. I'm just saying, maybe they should do some financial incentive. That's my thought on that. That's my thought on it. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this week. I want to thank everybody listening. Yes, again, I apologize. We've been a little scattered. Our shows have not been at the same time lately. It's okay. Just follow along. You can follow us on archives on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. That way you'll never miss us. You can subscribe, and that way you can never miss us no matter when a show is coming on. Hopefully we'll be back next week, regular time, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We will talk some Survivor. We will talk some other shows. I'll have to talk to Priscilla about Dancing with the Stars. We have a whole lot more to discuss in that realm too. And join us, everyone. But until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye.
Hey, everyone. We'll be right back.